RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by news across the country, Today in History, Highlight of the Week, Week in Review, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miss Eleni. We'll conclude our program for today with Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. Vice President Yusuf Kalla says infrastructure development in Indonesia in 2016 will be better. Indonesia to promote 5 outermost islands to investors. Indonesia is included in China-ASEAN rally route. Now the news in detail. Vice President Yusuf Kalla recently said that the quality and quantity of physical infrastructure development in 2016 would be better than that in this year, although budget of the Public Works and Public Housing Ministry has been cut by 10%. According to Vice President, the goal could be realized if the ministry could well implement 3 stages of development, namely planning, implementation, and supervision. In reaching the targets of development with limited budget, he urged the ministry to implement the auction process in an orderly manner while still prioritizing quality. For the record, the Public Works and Public Housing Ministry targeted the absorption of infrastructure budget by 44% at the end of September 2015 and will continue to increase by 93% by the end of December 2015 from the total budget of 180.6 trillion rupiahs. The ministry's budget will be allocated for water resources, constructions of roads and bridges, and development of residential areas. Based on the report, as of September 3, 2015, the Public Works and Public Housing Ministry has only absorbed 33.33% of worth 39.5 trillion rupiahs from its total budget. Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries is set to offer 5 of Indonesia's outermost islands on September 14, 2015 to investors. Those 5 islands are Simelu, Natuna, Tahuna, Saumlaki, and Merauke. Secretary General of the Ministry, Syarif Wijaya, in Jakarta on Saturday said that the ministry move was aimed at attracting investors, and it is expected that with investment in fisheries and maritime fields, those islands could serve as the base of fisheries industries and rejuvenate economy of the locals. Meanwhile, as an initial step to attract investors, Syarif said that the ministry would be assisted by Public Works and Public Housing Ministry in preparing basic infrastructures. The infrastructures include seaports, airports, and clean water supply. In the meantime, lands to build maritime and fisheries industries, such as cool storage, will also be provided. In the next 5 years, Syarif added that the ministry would also promote 31 out of 92 outermost islands in Indonesia, while the remaining 61 inhabited islands would be developed later on. Indonesia has for the first time been included in the route of the China-ASEAN International Touring Assembly, or CAITA Rally, scheduled to start from Nanning, China on Monday. CAITA Rally 2015 Executive Chief Thomas Ma said in Nanning on Sunday that participants of the rally were expected to arrive on Batam Island in the Indonesian province of Riau Islands on September the 18th. He added, "For the first time, participants of the rally would stop in Indonesia on the island of Batam. Participants seem very enthusiastic. Moreover, many of them have never been to Batam. CAITA Rally is an annual event held as part of efforts to deepen the relations between China and the Association of Southeast Asian Nations member countries. The event that was started in 2006 is organized by the Chinese Office of Sport and the Guangxi Province. Like in the years before, the start and finish will be in Nanning, which is the capital of Guangxi. More than 200 participants of the car rally would drive through China, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore, and Indonesia. The participants generally represent ASEAN member countries and a number of provinces in China. Nurdin Purnomo, the participant from Indonesia, said he hoped the inclusion of Batam into the rally route could promote Indonesia and ASEAN. From Batam, participants of the rally would proceed to Singapore and arrive back in Nanning at the end of September. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Commissioner General Anang Iskandar on Saturday said that the newly appointed National Police Head of Criminal Investigations said the current investigation into cases such as the alleged corruption case involving PT Pelindo II would be carried on after his inauguration. Bambang Susatyo, a member of House of Representatives Commission 3, overseeing legal affairs, said that he would encourage Anang to continue investigations into cases handled by former head of Bareskrim or the criminal investigation Budi Waseso. Anang revealed that his leadership style would be different from Budi Waseso's by prioritizing preventions instead of enforcements. M. Nasir, a commissioner at the National Police Commission, expressed optimism that Anang would be able to solve cases without causing commotion. He added that Anang would always put performance above publication or controversies. Public Works and Public Housing Minister Basuki Hadimulyono signed contract agreements on Friday for the development of 3 toll roads, including 2 segments of the long-awaited Trans-Sumatra Highway, worth 21.6 trillion rupiah or $1.52 billion. According to Basuki, as quoted by the Jakarta Post on Saturday, the construction of the toll roads officially started after the contract signing, despite the fact that President Joko Widodo had held a groundbreaking ceremony for the Bakauheni Terbanggi Besar section in April. The minister signed the contract with state-run construction company Hutama Karya for the development of 2 sections of Trans Sumatra Highway serving Bakauheni Terbanggi Besar and Palembang Indralaya. And Basuki said that the 140.9 kilometer toll road connecting Bakauheni and Terbanggi Besar was expected to begin operation in 2016, while the 21.93 kilometer long Palembang Indralaya toll road was expected to complete construction in 2017. State Enterprise Minister Rini M. Sumarno has reiterated that state-owned companies can still continue with their program to buy back shares by adjusting the program based on their share prices in the stock exchange. She said after witnessing the signing of a cooperation agreement among state gas company PT PGN, state shipping company PT Pelni, and state-owned seaport operator PT ASDP, to use gas for sea transportation at the State Enterprises Ministry building recently in Jakarta. She said, among the state-owned companies which are ready to buy back large quantities of shares are Bank BRI, Bank BNI, Bukit Asam, and Waskita Karya. The minister added that state-owned companies might drop their plan to buy back shares in the capital market after the prices of their shares rebound. Members of the Indonesian Democratic Party of Struggle and the National Awakening Party, PKB, are set to report the House of Representatives Speaker Setia Novanto and the House Deputy Speaker Fadli Zon to the Ethics Council on Monday, following their attendance at U.S. presidential candidate Donald Trump's campaign event in New York on Thursday. PDIP lawmaker Budiman Sujatmiko told a press conference on Saturday, as quoted by the Jakarta Post, that besides Budiman, other DPR members who supported the move include Maman Imanul Haq from PKB and Adiana Pitupulu, Charles Honoris, and Diah Pitaloka, all from PDIP. Budiman said that the House is the symbol of Indonesia's sovereignty and thus represents the entire nation. Charles added that Setia and Fadli's action were embarrassment for the House since they traveled to the United States using the state's budget and facilities. He added that the Ethics Council should impose strict sanction on both Setia and Fadli. According to the House Code of Ethics, Article 232, all members should maintain their dignity, honor, image, and credibility while conducting their duties. To end the news, here are the main points once again. Vice President Yusuf Kalla says infrastructure development in 2016 will be better. Indonesia to promote 5 outermost islands to investors. Indonesia included in China-ASEAN rally route. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Welcome back in our weekly segment. Welcome back to the weekly segment news from across the country, which presents various interesting events from across the country during the week. The first news comes from East Kalimantan. Transportation, Culture and Tourism Service of Penajam Pasar Utara Regency held a kite festival in Pantai Corong, Tanjung Tengah Sub-District. This festival, which was held from September the 1st to the 2nd, was participated in by kite blowers from 6 countries, namely from France, the United States, Australia, Singapore, Thailand, and Malaysia. The kite festival also featured workshop on the making of kites and kites exhibition in cooperation with the Indonesian Kite Makers Association. Participants of the International Kite Festival fought for interesting prize and hundreds of million rupiahs. The festival was also held to promote tourism places in Penajam Pasar Utara Regency. From Kalimantan, we move to Sumedang, West Java. Public Works and Public Housing Minister Basuki Hadi Mulyono inaugurated the early filling of Jati Gede Reservoir in Sumedang Regency, West Java on Monday. The launching of the second biggest reservoir in Indonesia was marked by the pressing of siren along with West Java Governor Ahmad Heriawan. The minister said that Jati Gede Reservoir is beneficial to irrigate paddy field up to 90,000 hectares and water source with speed reaching 3.5 cubic per second. The standard water source can be used in Sumedang, Majalengka to Cirebon. Besides, Jati Gede Reservoir is also used for hydropower plant with a capacity of 110 megawatt, flood controlling in 14,000 hectare area and tourism object. The last news is from Yogyakarta. Yogyakarta Education, Youth and Sports Service develops Javanese learning concept with local wisdom-based technology. According to the head of Yogyakarta Education, Youth and Sports Service, Kadarmanto Baskara Aji, it aims to make students still have local culture root despite having vision and mission of technology. On the sidelines of the opening of Ki Hajar Competition or We Should Study at Yogyakarta Education Communication Technology Agency, Aji said that innovation of various Javanese language learning applications is developed. According to him, the innovation development is done because now young generation in Indonesia mostly uses foreign technology without making innovation. Ki Hajar Competition is held as the campaign of proper technology usage for the young generation. The event was participated in by 1,100 students from all education levels, from elementary school, junior high school, and senior high school. The event consists of the main competition in the form of online quiz about various lessons and supporting competitions like poster making competition, Edu movie, broadcasting competition, Japanese crosswords, Wasis calligraphy, Honochoroko or Japanese application, and reporting in Japanese language. Well, that ends news from across the country from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin from 1968, Swaziland becomes independent. The Kingdom of Swaziland is a sovereign state in Southern Africa. The country and its people take their names from Mswati II, the 19th century king, under whose rule Swazi territory was expanded and unified. Swaziland is one of the smallest countries in Africa. After the Anglo-Boer War, Swaziland was a British protectorate from 1903 until 1967. It regained its independence on September 6, 1968. Next is person from the past, Akira Kurosawa, who dies on September 6, 1998. Akira Kurosawa was born on March 23, 1910 and died on September 6, 1998, was a Japanese filmmaker, regarded as one of the most important and influential filmmakers in the history of cinema. Kurosawa directed 30 films in a career spanning 57 years. Kurosawa entered the Japanese film industry in 1936 following a brief stint as a painter. One of his films, Rashomon, became on September 10, 1951, the surprise winner of the Golden Lion at the Venice Film Festival and was subsequently released in Europe and North America. The commercial and critical success of this film opened up Western film markets for the first time to the products of the Japanese film industry, which in turn led to international recognition for other Japanese filmmakers. In 1990, he accepted the Academy Award for Lifetime Achievement. Posthumously, he was named Asian of the Century in the Arts, Literature and Culture category by Asian Week magazine and CNN. Cited as one of the five people who contributed most to the betterment of Asia in the past 100 years. On September 6, 1998, Kurosawa died of a stroke in Tokyo at the age of 88. Last is from September 6, 1996, Mandar Talaut bird found. Mandar Talaut is a typical Indonesian bird with endangered status. Mandar Talaut bird can only be found on the island Karangkelang in Talaut Islands, North Sulawesi. Mandar Talaut bird was found on the 6th of September 1996. After being subjected to surveillance and examined carefully, it was decided that Mandar Talaut bird is a bird species new to the world of science. In a scientific journal, Birds, Folktail, the discovery was then broadcast to the whole world, and the bird was given the scientific name Gymnocrax talaudensis. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is highlight of the week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. And this week, the highlights is on the breakup of red and white coalition. In the presidential election 2014, two groups endorsed two pairs of presidential and vice presidential candidates, namely the Red and White Coalition and the Great Indonesia Coalition. Red and White Coalition consists of Gerindra or Great Indonesian Movement Party, Golkar Party, National Mandate Party, United Development Party, Prosperous Justice Party, and PBB that endorsed the pair of Prabowo Subianto and Hatta Rajasa. Meanwhile, Great Indonesian Coalition consists of Indonesian Democratic Party of Struggle, the National Awakening Party, People's Conscience Party, National Democrat Party, and Indonesian Justice and Unity Party that endorsed the pair of Joko Widodo and Yusuf Kalla. The competition between the two coalitions still even goes on after Joko Widodo and Yusuf Kalla are elected as president and vice president. As time goes by, on Wednesday, September the 5th, one of Red and White Coalition members, National Mandate Party, joined Great Indonesia Coalition. After meeting President Joko Widodo, Chairman of the Party Executive Board Zulkifli Hasan declared that PAN joins the government to make the government's program successful. It is done for the interest of the nation, the country, the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia, rather than the interests of political parties and groups. In a press conference, President Joko Widodo said that he really appreciates that the National Mandate Party or PAN joins the government. On behalf of the government, the president invites all people to make it a momentum to strengthen the spirit of unity. President Joko Widodo sees PAN to emphasize the interests of the nation and the people. Meanwhile, Chairman of Hanura Party Wiranto, who accompanied Zulkifli Hasan to meet the president, said that PAN sees the same view as the government endorsing parties to face global economic condition. The same view is the needs of the national defense supported by all of the nation's components in order to maintain the life of the nation. In the meantime, chairman of Golkar Party for the version of Bali National Meeting, Abu Rizal Bakri, as the endorser of Red and White Coalition, evaluated that it is not a problem if the National Mandate Party moves to another group. According to Abu Rizal, being outside or inside the government is the same. Well, that ends highlight of the week from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the week in review, a compilation of what happened in Indonesia during the week. Let's start with Monday, August the 31st. State Oil Company PT Pertamina asked Kuwait Oil Company Kuwait Petroleum Company to collaborate in a number of oil projects. The collaboration will include oil exploration and refinery construction in Indonesia. Pertamina President Director Dwi Sucipto said after accompanying Vice President Yusuf Kalla during a meeting with Kuwait Petroleum representatives on Monday, August the 31st, that Kuwait is interested to collaborate with Pertamina in the upstream business. Still on Monday, President Joko Widodo said he will look for strategic partner countries such as China and South Korea for Indonesia to issue bonds in a bid to attract capital inflows. Not only that, economist Tony Prasetyantono said the president will visit Middle East to sell Sukuk or Islamic bonds. Tony said that the government's plan is the right plan given how Indonesia in need of capital inflows after the considerable amount of outflows over the past few months. According to Tony, the plan will be implemented in less than 2 weeks. Move now to Tuesday. The Indonesian Industry Ministry has prepared steps to address the impact of the depreciation of the rupiah exchange rate against the U.S. dollar. Industry Minister Saleh Hussein, during a work meeting with the House of Representatives Commission 6 overseeing state-owned companies on Tuesday, said that he encourages business people to substitute imported materials with local ones. The ministry also encourages the usage of local alternative material to replace imported ones to maintain the existence of the small and medium industries by increasing productivity through human resources competence. The ministry will also assist small and medium enterprises to boost efficiency in product processing, access to information, and marketing. Still on Tuesday, the International Monetary Fund Managing Director Christine Lagarde has recommended infrastructure development as one of the measures that will help rejuvenate Indonesia's growth. Lagarde delivered a general lecture at the University of Indonesia Economy and Business Graduate School in Jakarta on Tuesday, where she said modern and efficient infrastructure was vital for connecting people and markets both within the country and globally. She also pointed out that infrastructure in Indonesia, especially in the transport and power sector, was still subpar. For example, logistics costs account for 24% for Indonesia's gross domestic product compared with only 13% in Malaysia, and because of the disparities in transportation costs, the price of some basic commodities can be 20 times higher in Eastern Province than in Jawa. On Wednesday, the Indonesian government promised quick and massive deregulation in manufacturing, trade and agriculture to attract much-needed investment in Southeast Asia's largest economy. The measures are part of a stimulus package being finalized this month by President Joko Widodo in a bid to improve investors' sentiment, which has soured due to slowing domestic consumption, China's downturn and weak commodity prices. Chief Economic Minister Darmin Nasution said 160 regulations were identified as being negative for investors. President Joko Widodo and his cabinet ministers plan to review this regulation in marathon meetings over the next few days to decide which one to eliminate. Still on Wednesday, Indonesia's Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, Susi Pujiastuti, addressed the third summit of the Pacific Islands Development Forum in Fiji's capital, Suva, on Wednesday. Minister Pujiastuti was quoted as saying by the Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Ministry in a press statement issued on Wednesday that one world, one sea and one planet. What happens in Asia will have an impact on Europe's climate, and in the Pacific will also surely have an impact on the rest of the world. On Thursday, President Joko Widodo inaugurated Indonesia's first equatorial satellite, Lapan A2, at the National Aviation and Space Institute Technology Center in Bogor, West Java on Thursday. And President Joko Widodo remarked that he highly lauded and respected Lapan's development team for its concrete research. The satellite will be flown aboard by a cargo aircraft to India and will then be launched into its orbit by an Indian rocket. Indonesian Tourism Minister Arief Yahya stated on Thursday that foreign tourist arrivals during the period between January and July 2015 rose 2.69% to 5.47 million from 5.32 million in the same period last year. According to data provided by the National Statistics Agency and the Tourism Ministry, the highest growth in the number of visitors was recorded from Saudi Arabia, followed by Bahrain, United Arab Emirates, and Egypt, while the number of Chinese visitors rose by 20.6%. Minister Yahya stated that the number of tourist arrivals in July met the set target of 800,000, while the monthly target for August and September was set at 150,000 respectively. It is expected that 25% of the target will be met during the July-September period, while the remaining 30% will be achieved in the October-December period. He noted that Indonesia continued to show positive growth in June and July, thereby leading to a cumulative growth of 2.69% in the January-July period. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi at the Merdeka Palace on Friday afternoon. The two leaders attended a state memorial ceremony accompanied by 21 cannon salute. The ceremony was followed by a meeting between both presidents and a bilateral meetings between the two countries' delegations. During the meeting, President Joko Widodo was accompanied by Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, Coordinating Minister for Economy Darmin Nasution, Defense Minister Ria Mirza Triakudu, and Religious Affairs Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin. Foreign Ministry spokesman Armanata Nasir said that Egypt is Indonesia's biggest trading partner in North Africa, with a total bilateral trade reaching $1.4 billion last year, and Indonesia is enjoying a surplus. And finally, on Saturday, the government is set to prepare smoke emergency operation to overcome forest and land fires in parts of Sumatra and Kalimantan following a close meeting at the Environment and Forestry Ministry. The Environment and Forestry Ministry Secretary General Bambang Hendroyono said a ministry decree will be issued regarding the smoke emergency operation. A national task force will be established as well. Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Sudirman Said, National Police Chief Badruddin Haiti, Indonesian Military Chief General Gatot Nurmantio, and regional representatives from South Sumatra, Jambi, and Riau provinces were among those in attendance at the meeting held in Jakarta. And the last item is still from Saturday. The Indonesian Employers Association said that the cancellation of the Jakarta-Bandung bullet train project should not be debated since the project was impossible to be realized. Sinta Sukamdani, head of Foreign Relationship and Investment at APindo, on Saturday in Jakarta said that offers made by both China and Japan related to the funding and technical assistance for the project were not ideal. Sinta said that the project financing from the state budget and the calculation regarding the number of stations and maximum speed were the perfect reasons for the cancellation of the project. She added that the world would understand if the government cancelled the project. She believes it would not affect the investment climate in Indonesia. That was the end of the Week in Review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Tricayakasi.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now for us to bring you news in brief. Vice President Yusuf Kalla recently said that the quality and quantity of physical infrastructure development in 2016 would be better than that in this year, although budget of the Public Works and Public Housing Ministry has been cut by 10%. Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries is set to offer 5 of Indonesia's outermost islands on September the 14th to investors. Indonesia has for the first time included in the route of the China-ASEAN International Touring Assembly, Seju, to start from Nanning, China on Monday. Commissioner General Anang Iskandar on Saturday said the newly appointed National Police Head of Criminal Investigation, Commissioner General Anang Iskandar, on Saturday said that the current investigation into cases such as the alleged corruption case involving PT Pelindo II would be carried out after his inauguration. Public Works and Public Housing Minister Basuki Hadimulyono signed contract agreement on Friday for the development of 3 toll roads, including 2 segments of the long-awaited Trans Sumatra Highway worth to 21.6 trillion rupiahs or $1.52 billion. State Enterprises Minister Rini M. Sumarno has reiterated that state-owned companies can still continue with their program to buy back shares by adjusting the program based on their share prices in the stock exchange. Members of the Indonesian Democratic Party of Struggle PDIP and the National Awakening Party PKB are set to report the House of Representatives Speaker Setia Novanto and Deputy Speaker Fadli Zon to the Ethics Council on Monday, following their attendance at U.S. presidential candidate Donald Trump's campaign event in New York on Thursday. That was the end of News in Brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Tricayakasi.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, to the frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miss Lenny.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Thank you.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesia's tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today, I will introduce lawar, typical of traditional Balinese food. So stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Bali is the center of tourism in Indonesia. Some people even say that you has not been to Indonesia if you haven't visited Bali. The island of Bali is a favorite destination of tourists both from abroad and from within the country. This may be because Bali does have cultural diversity and appeal of extraordinary nature. However, Bali is not only known as a tourist center which offers beautiful nature, such as wonderful beaches and mountain sites, it also offers a lot of things that can be enjoyed by all people vacationing in the island of Bali, such as Balinese culture, which is still very strong, and traditional food that stirs the appetite of tourists, one of which is lawar Bali. Lawar is a typical Balinese cuisine, which is a mixture of vegetables and minced meat flavored with a lot of spices. Lawar was originally used for serving at both traditional and religious ceremonies alone. But ultimately, lawar is also served in everyday Balinese household and even widely sold in restaurants as lawar Bali. Lawar has a variety of names based on the type of meat or vegetable used. When pork is used, then it will be called lawar babi or pork lawar. But now many are using chicken and vegetable as the main ingredients. When jackfruit or nangka is used, then it is called lawar nangka or jackfruit. Giving the name can also be judged by the color, such lawar merah, which is red, lawar putih, which is white. There is even the one called lawar padamare, which is a kind of lawar made of a mixture of several types lawar. To make lawar Bali is not too difficult. First of all, slice some green beans with a size of approximately 1 cm, then set aside. Clean some bean sprouts by removing the root. Then you can proceed by heating the oil and stir fry until the smell of the spices come out. Then put in the minced chicken, stir until slightly dry, and put in some grated coconut, stir over low heat until the oil dry and the color turns to golden brown. Then remove and let it cool. The next step is a mix of the beans, bean sprout, and mixture of chicken and coconut. Add some lemon juice, stir until smooth and serve. Because most of the ingredients are vegetables, it cannot last long, so you have to finish it as soon as it is ready. Lawar now has become increasingly popular among Balinese people and foreigners alike because it is often served as a daily side dish, not only eaten after carrying out ceremonies. The increasing number of enthusiasts is what makes lawar no longer use animal blood as one of the material required in its cooking process as traditionally done in the past. Now, what is more widely used is vegetable such as star fruit, jackfruit, coconut, young papaya, of course all with typical Balinese spices.
Mr. Lenny.
Mr. Lenny on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, Jakarta with Ms. Leni, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition explores the topic of Indonesian students created sugar from cassava peel, so stay tuned. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Sugar is one of the strategic needs of the people. It is usually not consumed directly but mixed with or added to food or drink. Until recently, sugar cane is the material which is most widely used. However, there are other minor sources of sugar such as coconut, dahlia tuber, grapes, and corn. Students of Bogor Agricultural Institute or IPB have made an innovation by producing liquid sugar with the main raw material derived from cassava peel. Farouk Arrahman, a member of the team, said liquid sugar from cassava peel contains less energy, that is less than a third of the energy contained in sugar, namely 106 kilocalories per 100 grams, while the regular sugar contains 364 kilocalories per 100 grams. Farouk said the innovation of liquid sugar made from cassava peel was conducted with three other cliques, namely Galina Nugraha, Putri Vionita, and Abdul Aziz. According to him, this idea was initiated by Abdul Aziz during the IPB Student Creativity Week. Based on the concept of zero waste, this team saw that cassava production in Indonesia is quite large, among others in Ciluar, Bogor, which is a cassava processing center for tapioca flour. Explained that the process of making liquid sugar from cassava peel is quite simple. Cassava peel is soaked for 3 days, blended with a mixture of water, and then the starch is extracted. The cassava starch is then mixed with some alpha amylase enzyme, then cooled down from a temperature of 105 degrees to 60 degrees centigrade. After that, it is put in a saccharification glass jar to break down the complex sugar into simple sugar with the addition of amyglucosides, enzyme. After going through the process of saccharification, then it goes into the process of bleaching with active charcoal. The next stage is filtering and evaporation to concentrate the liquid sugar results. Further on, Putri Vionita explained that compared to the calorie content of other sugar products such as palm sugar and honey, the cassava peel liquid sugar is lower. Other team member, Galih Nugraha, said the liquid low-calorie sugar can be used by diabetic patients and people who are on diet program. In addition to the fat content of the liquid cassava peel, the sugar is lower. It can also be an alternative beside the traditional coconut sugar. Meanwhile, Abdul Aziz added that the idea of making liquid sugar from cassava peel came from seeing the huge potential of cassava produce in Indonesia, yet with minimal waste utilization. He said Indonesia is one of the 5 largest cassava producing countries in the world. Figures of the Central Bureau of Statistics in 2014 showed that a national cassava production reached over 23 million tons. Cassava processing waste produce about 15% to 20% of the weight of the material, with a percentage of periderm layer of 0.5% to 2%, and the white inner skin or cortex reaches 8% to 19.5%. According to him, the potential is very large. If successful in producing liquid sugar from cassava peels, Indonesia does not need to depend on imported sugar anymore. Well, that was Miscellany Today on IPB Students Make Sugar from Cassava Peel.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia. Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, listener, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Jose Socorro Soeiro Marano in Brazil. He was listening to our broadcast through frequency of 9525 kHz at 1900 hours to 2000 hours UTC on January 3, 2015, and the SIN code was 34333. He has been a shortwave listener and DXer for 29 years. Besides English program, he also listens to Spanish and French program. In his email, Mr. Jose Socorro Soeiro Marano also asked to send our QSL card. Hello, Mr. Jose Socorro Soeiro Marano. Thank you for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. And thank you for your reception report, which is surely very useful for our technical division. We hope you always keep on listening to our broadcast and sending your reception reports. As your request, we'll send our QSL card soon to your home, and please be patient for it. Thank you. And special for you and also to our regular listeners, we'll play a song. Enjoy the song.
Aku
Listener, before we play another beautiful song, we will reply an email from Kalab Abbas, our regular listener from Pakistan. He was listening to English program at 600 hours to 700 hours local time in Pakistan. Hello, Mr. Kalab Abbas, how are you? I wish you are in good condition. Thank you for your reception reports. We are very glad because you always keep listening to our broadcast and sending your reception reports. We hope you don't get bored to tune in our radio. Because you love Indonesian music, here is a beautiful song for you. Enjoy the song.
Segenap hatiku selalu memujamu, oh. Seluruh jiwa ku persembahkan untukmu. Sepenuh cintaku merindukan dirimu, seutuh gejolak membakar hatiku. Seperti cahaya hadirmu di duniaku, seperti ribuan bintang yang menghujam jantungku. Oh, 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 oh. Kau membuatku merasakan indahnya jatuh cinta, indahnya dicintai saat kau jadi milikku. Kau takkan ku lepaskan dirimu, oh cintaku. Teruslah kau bersemi di dalam lubuk hatiku.
Now we continue to reply an email from Mr. Alan Holder in England. Hello, Mr. Alan Holder. Thank you for your email, dated August 14, 2015. In his email, Mr. Alan Holder said that the signal is strong, but as before, the audio level is very low and it is hard to hear some of the program content. Well, Mr. Alan Holder, we'll deliver your complaint to our technical division. We hope our broadcast is getting better and better and able to satisfy our listeners. Thank you for your report, and special for you and also our regular listeners, we will play a beautiful song. Let's check it out.
Tak pernah setengah hati mencintaimu, ku memiliki dirimu. Setulus-tulusnya jiwa, ku serahkan semua hanya untukmu. Tak pernah aku niati melukaimu atau meninggalkan dirimu. Sesalku selalu bila tak sengaja aku buat kau menangis. Memiliki, mencintai dirimu, kasihku tak akan pernah membuat diriku menyesal. Sungguh matiku, hidupku kan selalu membutuhkan kamu. Memiliki, mencintai
Well, now we'll reply an email from Stefano Golino in Italy. He was listening to our broadcast through frequency of 9525 kHz on January 6, 2015 at 1900 hours to 2000 hours UTC in English program. And the SINPO was 33343. Hello, Mr. Stefano Golino. Thank you for your reception report, which is very detailed. And we really appreciate your report. As your request, we'll send our QSL card to your home immediately. And we are looking forward to receiving your next email with your reception reports of our broadcast. Thank you very much. Well, listener, those are emails that we have received, but unfortunately, we have to sign off. We appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. So please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email info@voi.co.id or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan page on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at Voi Indonesia, at Voi Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude listeners' mailbag for this week, we will play a song. I'm Anya Sana. Thank you for listening. And we'll meet again next week in listeners' mailbag. Bye-bye.
Merasa engkau ada dan cintaku seolah jenuh akan hatimu. Kasih tinggalkanlah diriku untuk selamanya, biarkan ku sendiri. Cukup bagi diriku aku. Mungkin kau akan bahagia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, Voi Indonesia.